Thanks for tuning in to And That's Facts. This is Demetria Gonzalez.
And I'm Brooke Landry.
And today we're going to talk about the problem of Y2K.
So basically, just to give you a little overview on what the Y2K actually is, let us break it down for you.
So programmers have been in the habit of using two-digit placeholders for the year portion of the date. For example, 1998 is recorded as 98, 1999 is recorded as 99, and so on. They did this for many reasons. This is just how everyone wrote their dates in everyday life. So if it's January 2nd, 1998, you're going to write it as 1/2/98. It also takes way less space to store two digits rather than four. That's not a big deal now because hard disks are so cheap, but it was once a big deal on older machines. Lastly, no one even expected this software to have such a long lifetime. People writing software in 1970 had no reason to believe the software would still be in use 30 years later. The problem is that software then doesn't know how to interpret 00. It doesn't know whether to interpret it as 1900 or 2000. So date calculations wouldn't be performed right once January 1st, 2000 came. Many transportation devices depended on the correct date and time. So airplanes in particular were put at risk.
So, a decent portion of the population did legitimately believe that computers all around the world would crash at the strike of midnight on January 1st, 2000. But, interestingly enough, 10% of our population actually believed Y2K would result in a literal apocalypse. People thought that plane systems would fail and planes would start falling from the sky. Some people even believed that the computers would kill us all. There were even warnings sent out by the American Red Cross to help people prepare for the Y2K. They told the public to prepare for as if they were preparing for a large storm, such as filling your gas tank, having extra blankets, and keeping food stored. People were even joining doomsday cults in preparation for this.
It's also crazy that people could take such a simple year change so seriously. So how did this Y2K stuff even come up? Was it just randomly brought out of the blue, or did some large business like declare it was a problem?
The Y2K was first recognized on Monday, June 12, 1995 at 11:31 p.m. The idea was presented by Massachusetts programmer David Eddy in an internet discussion group with many other computer programmers, or as we like to call them, computer nerds. After the word began to spread about the Y2K scare and the year 2000 got closer and closer, it caused lots of hysteria amongst the public. But before we get into further detail about the Y2K, let's hear from a civilian who experienced the scare firsthand.
Year 2000, otherwise known as the year of Y2K, was a year of great panic for many. But for me, on the other hand, I was like, what's Y2K? It didn't really affect me because I'm kind of an old soul. I know how to make a fire, and I used to talk on a regular telephone, and I'm not a man that uses a computer. So for me, I was just gonna get up and the world was gonna keep going. But I had a next door neighbor who was into all kinds of electronics, into gaming and his computers, and he used to panic, thinking the whole world was gonna stop for him. But guess what? We kept going into 2001, into 2002, nothing changed.
As you can see, not everyone was greatly impacted by the Y2K scare, although it did take a lasting toll on many businesses and corporations.
Oh, okay, that makes a little more sense. So businesses all across the world were forced to deal with this Y2K scare. Businesses around the globe were expected to spend between $3 and $6 billion in programming costs alone. It was expected to create a huge demand for programmers, but this surprisingly didn't even happen. Instead, many large corporations decided to relocate their staffs instead of relying on outsiders to fix the problem. The demand for programmers because of Y2K was actually extremely minimal. For example, the Bank of America shifted around 3,000 people from other jobs just to work on Y2K.
Although the demand for programmers wasn't extreme because of the Y2K scare, there were many job openings in computer programming after the Y2K scare died down. Between the years 1996 and 2006, the number of job openings for computer engineers was expected to grow by 113%, compared to the overall job growth of 14%. The reason the search for programmers increased, especially after the Y2K, was because companies had to postpone or delay projects they'd otherwise be doing if it weren't for the Y2K.
There were many companies created around this time that specialized in providing Y2K consulting and programming services. Many experts stated that it would be a difficult transition for these companies to establish themselves in other areas because they'd be entering a well-defined market with a lot of competition. For programmers that have the ability to work with today's programming languages, they'd be fine because there are jobs everywhere for programmers these days.
With all this preparation and fear of the Y2K bug, did anything actually even happen when the year 2000 came?
Surprisingly enough, in the end, there were actually very few problems. A nuclear energy facility in Ishikawa, Japan, had some of its radiation equipment fail, but backup facilities ensured there was no threat to the public. Additionally, the U.S. detected missile launches in Russia and attributed that to the Y2K bug, but the missile launches were planned way ahead of time as part of the Russia's conflict in its Republic of Chechnya, so there was no computer malfunctions. Countries such as Italy, Russia, and South Korea had done little to prepare for Y2K, but they had no more technological problems than those countries, like the US, that spent millions of dollars to combat the problem. Due to the lack of results, many people dismissed the Y2K bug as just a hoax.
So, what you're saying is, after all this stress and preparation of people believing the world was going to end, and that there was going to be some massive apocalypse, the Y2K just ended up being a hoax?
Yep, after all that, just a hoax. And apparently, there's supposed to be some other computer scare when the year 2038 comes, but that's for another podcast.
That's all we have time for today, folks. Tune in next time where we debunk the hoax of the fake moon landing. This has been Brooke Landry and Demetria Gonzalez on And That's Facts.